Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to this special edition of the 40 Seats Fire Internet Soccer Show, my Red Bulls review show as the New York Red Bulls went down to Houston, Texas over at BBVA Compass Stadium, defeated Houston Dynamo by a final of 4-1. And you know what, folks? Basically, you just got to say that the Houston Dynamo, a team that is... You know, the roster's a little short because of call-ups for the U.S. national team and other players that are playing for their respective national teams. Might be some injuries as well. They went out there, the Red Bulls, and they took care of business. They won by a final score of 4-1. They did a great job doing it, especially that second half where they pounded 3 goals and seeing Thierry Henry finally get a goal to make it 2-1 at the time. Wonderful stuff, wonderful things going on. It was just absolutely brilliant to see this team work well. We'll get to the Houston situation in a moment. I want to say first, though, I apologize for the last 40 Seats Fire show. I really thought there was a problem, not just on my end, but I also thought there was a problem on your end, my listeners, because I heard my audio drop in my headset, and I thought if I heard it, you heard it, and there's nothing I can do about it because you know it's a live show and everything. I can talk to Blog Talk Radio, but I thought you guys were missing everything. But thankfully, you didn't miss a thing. It was only on my end that audio was dropping. So if you heard me talking in the middle of my guests talking, I thought I lost them, but I did not, and I just wanted just to say, you know, I'm grateful that you guys did not miss a single word from my guests when they came on the show last week. So, pardon me. I just want to say I'm glad that you guys didn't lose it, but I also want to be fair, though. I want to play some audio again from the win against DC United. I know I played Mike Petke's audio for you, and I also believe I got Tim Cahill's audio as well. But I want to play the rest of the guys because I want to be fair here, I want to talk about them real quickly, and then we'll get into the Houston everything after the audio. So really quickly from DC United, in the 2-1 win against DC United, Lloyd Samuel got that first goal against DC and make it 1-0 early on. Here's what he said. Now, once again, this is audio from the game at DC. I feel like it's only fair enough if I play this for you first, and then we'll talk about Houston because they were on the road down in Houston this past Sunday. So really quickly, Lloyd Sam for his goal and the game against D.C., here he is right now.
Do you feel that you made a little bit of a statement, if you will? This was your fourth start of the season. Like, yeah. You're chomping at it together. Did you made a statement tonight? You went the full 90 and you got a goal.
I just try and do the best I can do when I'm on the pitch. Like, whether it's a statement, that's up to other people to see. But like, whenever I'm put out there, I'm just trying to do the best I can do.
Was that a cross or a shot? Don't lie.
It was a cross shot.
So,
and good things happen from them sort of balls, so I'll take the goal.
Were you surprised they gave you so much room to go down the flank?
I mean, like, I've hardly played all season, so I'm probably not in the scouting report. So I guess I'm not surprised.
You've been around, obviously, over in England, and it doesn't matter where a rival is in the table, but obviously it's still a rivalry,
yeah,
or a derby. How important was it to get 3 points against DC where they are right now, like, supporters,
yeah,
points dead last?
I mean, it doesn't matter where they're at in the league, because that didn't seem like playing the bottom team in the league right there. That was a difficult game, and I'm guessing because of the rivalry that there is between the two teams, so... It's always going to be extra incentive to beat a team that's a rival.
How do you try to set up the defender so you can take advantage of your speed?
When I'm on the right side, I normally try and dribble with my left foot. when it's on my left foot, I can go either way. And I know that if I push it either way, I'm going to get to the ball. Something about, someone taught me that a long time ago, and it seems to work. So that's probably my secret, which I've let the world know now.
Yeah.
I mean, going into the game, with especially with Tim up front, the focus was to get as many balls in the box as possible. And like, I know that if I'm fixed right wing, I'm gonna get crosses in. And I'm happy that I don't know how many crosses I put in the box, but I feel like I done my job putting the balls in, and one of them ended up being a goal, so that makes me even happier. So yeah, I mean, I'm happy, man. I mean, I've not had that many games, as you guys know, so it's nice to get in there, first start at home, and get a goal. I was saying that good things will happen when you start me at home, so I had to kind of back up my thought.
The cross shot, the angle, did you see the ball entirely go over the line at all? I mean, I know you're on the far side, but
yeah, I mean,
did you see it go in?
It looked like it went in, and when I saw it on the replay, I saw it went over the line. So, yeah, I'm always going to appeal for that and say it went in. So, yeah, I thought it did.
And that's Lloyd Sam on his goal against DC, and then we're going to quickly play Bradley Wright Phillips, his audio, because that was his first start. And Bradley Wright Phillips has been pretty damn good coming in to the Red Bulls, and now, of course, pair it up with Thierry Henry. And we'll get to him more in the Houston match, and of course, with Lloyd Sam in the Houston match. But here's Bradley Wright Phillips after the game against DC United.
The first time I came on Chiba, my first one, I was offside, so I made a point of it to myself. I didn't want to be offside. A bit of communication with the midfielders before the game, and you know, those things work. Yeah.
Just out of, this question's already been asked. This is your first start here in Major League Soccer with the Red Bulls. How did it feel to be out there to finally start a match?
It was nice. It was an honour. You know, such a big club like this. It was just good to get my first game, you know, at the Red Bull Arena.
Obviously, you're close with your dad. Do you ever get advice from your dad about, you know, not just so much being here in the U.S., but at least playing football, whether it was over back in England or here?
Yeah. He's good to me when it comes to advice. You know, he's done it at the highest level. So, you know, I spoke to him yesterday. He just told me go out there, try and get a goal. Most of all, just work hard.
What did Mike Pecky tell you before the match? What was he kind of looking for you to do?
Well, he gave us some instructions on Friday, you know, and during the week. I just tried to do them as best as I could, you know, the defending, you know, for the team, because that's where it starts. And, you know, yeah, try and get a goal. Work hard and try and get a goal.
Did they tell you were going to start yesterday?
I knew. I think from the shape I knew, but you can never be too sure.
How does it feel? I mean, you've been in many, you know, derby rivals over in England, but how does it feel to be now officially with the New York DC rivalry here in MLS?
Yeah, it feels good, and to win as well, you know. You can send them back home angry. Tell them I said that.
The atmosphere tonight.
Oh, it was quality. It was good. You know, I know that fans, it's up and down, you know, soccer, it's up and down. Sometimes it's a good crowd, sometimes it's not so good, but today was good, and, you know, they were singing their hearts out. It was good. Enjoyed it.
Bradley, it looked like just, the strategy was to attack the DC center backs with air balls in the air. Was that something that you guys were just looking for and playing for the entire match?
Yeah, of course. You know, me and Tim, you know, it's obviously a great player experience. We communicated a lot on the pitch. We spoke about it yesterday. You know, as soon as they try and come out with it, we can get a good pressure on them. That's exactly what we did, and I think it worked good today.
Bradley Wright Phillips on the win against DC last week. And now we can go straight to Houston and talk about that 4-1 victory. My God. See, this is the problem sometimes that you have here, and you're wondering, which is the real Red Bulls we're going to be seeing here? Are we going to be seeing them struggling to get goals and points off of these teams that are poor and terrible, like Chivas USA and, of course, the Columbus Crew? Or are we going to see a Red Bulls team dominate and destroy on sides like the Montreal Impact 4-0, Sporting Kansas City 3-2, should have been 3-1, but 3-2, or this game on the road against Houston, where they got on the board first, there was an equalizer from the Dynamo, and then all of a sudden, three more goals in the second half to make it 4-1. This is the situation here that you're wondering. This is the situation that, you know, you've got to ask questions, because we don't know who's the real team here. We don't know what's the real team. Is this a team that looks like that they're MLS Cup contenders and they can do no wrong? Or is this the thing is this a team, you know, that plays down to their competition sometimes, and they assume they're going to win, and they get blown out, or they lose? See, that's the big question. We don't know what's going to happen. We really don't know what's going to happen. And this is the thing I guess we're going to have to deal with, whether you have a rookie head coach like Mike Petke who's running it. You know, I'm not saying Mike Petke has done a terrible job. I'm not saying he's done a great job. I'm not saying he's done a fantastic job. And I'm not saying he's done a disgusting job. I think Mike Petke has done a good job with what he has to deal with. And what he's got to deal with, unfortunately, is sometimes the mental aspects of having a team that's basically, I would have to say, a team that I believe they get prepared properly for these games. But every once in a while, you're going to get a stinker or you're going to get a destruction. And that's what I'm talking about. You're talking about what could happen with a team, not so much the coach this time, but more about how mentally prepared they are. And I'm not talking about not being mentally prepared on the practice field or at the training complex, but it's more about what are they going to do once they step on the field? What are they going to do once they step on the field and face their opponents, whether they are terrible or good or great? That's the issue we have here. And Petke, you can tell how emotional he is on the bench. You see it so many times. He rides with his heart on his sleeve, and he wants the players to do everything that they can to perform at the highest level that he knows that they can. We already saw what happened with the blow-up between Mike Petke and Thierry Henry. And you know what? It sounds like it's all over. It sounds like it's finished. It's finito. Because after that fourth goal, not hearing it on the MSG Network telecast because Shep Messing and Steve Cangelosi were back in New York in the studios. They just took the live signal and they broadcasted the game from the desk over at MSG Network in Manhattan. But obviously the Houston media, the Houston broadcasters, you got Eddie Robinson as well as Glenn Davis calling the game. And after the fourth goal for New York, after Lloyd Sam converted his goal, Eddie Robinson said, Thierry Henry and Mike Petke are hugging each other. And basically, what does that mean? To me, everyone, it means that this skirmish is over. This little negativity, this little nothingness is done. It's gone. It's already out the window. So for those of you that are trying to say, and you can go ahead and listen to the video, watch the video, listen to what Eddie Robinson says, you know, after Lloyd Sand made it 4-1, after the replay, he took a glimpse down at the field, at the bench for New York. Henry and Mike Petke have embraced. They've hugged each other. It's finished. It's over. This little nothing is done. It's over with, and we don't have to continue it anymore. 8 games remaining on the schedule for the New York Red Bulls. 4 are at home against Toronto FC this coming Saturday. Next Sunday, at home against FC Dallas. Then they go to Seattle. They come back home to take on New England. They go back to Houston after the international break, and the MLS is taking an international break. It looks like it. And then the last game of the season, the final regular season game at home against the Chicago Fire. Mike McGee and company coming to Red Bull Arena to finish off the regular season, and we'll see what happens with all that situation. But you just got to say right now, and even though I know from what I've seen so far, And I do feel bad for Fabian Espíndola because, you know, he's been trying so hard to fit with Mike Petke's system. He started off with that brace in Portland. He's been nicking goals a little bit here and there. He has 7 in the league season, 9 in all competitions. The 2 he scored in the Open Cup against Reading United in the 3rd round at Red Bull Arena. And then, of course, the quarterfinal loss he equalized early against the Revolution at Harvard University. And unfortunately, that field was terrible. But the point is this. Is that he has been trying hard. It's not like he's lazy, that's for sure. He's trying to get in there, he's trying to do things, and he's just trying to make it work. And right now, I don't think he's in the doghouse. I think Petke's giving him a mental rest. Will he come off the bench? That I don't know. But here's the main question. Is Espíndola going to get traded after this season? Which you hope he doesn't, because he really can work for this side. It's just hopefully he can get used to what Mike Petke wants. It started great early on. It's been spotty here and there, I understand. But still, though, 7 goals is nothing to sneeze at. 9 in all competitions is nothing to sneeze at either. But we'll see what happens. But yet again, Bradley Wright Phillips, of course, his brother is Sean Wright Phillips, and his father is Ian Wright. The thing is that it looks like there's some sort of familiarity with playing with Thierry Henry, because their dad played with Thierry Henry at Arsenal. And it looks like Thierry Henry has quickly taken to what Bradley Wright Phillips has been doing so far. Bradley Wright Phillips right now looks to be the answer to help out. But, you know, just because you got Espíndola not playing doesn't mean you have to throw him away 1-2-3. If Henri needs a rest, and he'll say he doesn't, but if you feel Henri needs a rest, you can still bring in Espíndola and he can probably do the job. But once again, this is the situation we have here. And, you know, more depth is now a positive thing. Whatever depth you've lost at the end of last year and the start of this season, now it's coming to fruition. Bradley Wright Phillips has done a very good job stabilizing the situation. He was up top with Tim Cahill against DC in the 2-1 win. And then he's starting again down in Houston. He helps set up a goal for Johnny Steele. And Johnny Steele, my goodness. You know, he's going to have a clunker, just like the rest of the team. But when he turns it on, he turns it on. And my God, the goal he scored was absolutely brilliant to make it 3-1 Red Bulls. Johnny Steele gets a great ball. He stayed onside, gets a great ball from Bradley Wright Phillips. And then he tacks the nets with Tally Hall in front of him. He makes that nice move to his right. He extends Tally Hall, but he makes sure he doesn't even take the shot yet. Because once the ball passes Tally Hall, all Johnny Steele had to do, all he had to do really was just to tap it into an open net, and that made it 3-1. Then, of course, Lloyd Sam late in the game. Here comes Peggy Lou Yundula coming off the bench. And Lou Yundula, he hasn't scored since the penalty against Montreal, yet it was nice of him to set up Lloyd Sam. And as soon as he plays a little give and go with Lloyd Sam, Sam just takes the ball just inside the area and he smacks it hard into the net. And you hear the jangling of the net. Boom. 4-1. 4-1 Red Bulls. And that was that. Let me tell you something, everybody. This has been unbelievable. This has been a pretty good stretch right now. I know there's been these 3-game winless streaks or losing streaks. And to tell you the truth, everybody, Mike Petke has found ways to rebound from these winless or losing streaks. He has. You don't get too high, you don't get too low. You got to go in there each and every week, game in, game out, and you got to go out there and you got to perform and you got to play hard and you got to work it hard too. This has been pretty darn good for Mike Petke. You rebound, you beat DC to break the three-game winless streak. You go to Houston on a team that's a bit shorthanded, and you still pound it past them. You score four goals, boom, donezo. 3 points are in the books. 3 points are in your pockets. Head back up north. Go ahead back up to Red Bull Arena. Get ready for Toronto FC, who have just already traded their designated player to the Portland Timbers. Their Argentine striker, Ruti, no longer a member of TFC. And who knows? Maybe Portland has found the magic now to possibly overtake Real Salt Lake for that top spot in the West. But I have to say, and I know people don't want to hear it, and I'm talking about some of the New York fans that are already chanting for Petke to get sacked. Why? I don't know. Because this is the deal you knew about. This is the deal that you were aware of when he came over. You know, I don't like it when they lose that badly to a Columbus team, even though they got screwed by the ref. I don't like the situation where they went to Chivas and they just basically sat back and let them walk all over them, even though it was Tim Cahill who pulled back an equalizer, a lazy penalty to concede. Now, you let them come back. You let them walk all over. You let them do things that they should never have done in the first place. But it happened. And now, as we take a look at the schedule for the Red Bulls, you take a look and you see what's going on. I mean, they got 45 points. They've won 13 matches. I mean, we take a look here at the full standings. The full schedule. They start off with a 3-1 lead through half, and they lose the lead, but they come out with a point in Portland. They had a 1-0 lead. You know what happened in the second half. You thought it would be another point, but then, they lose it on a penalty retaken. Draw at home against D.C. You lose 1-0 at Montreal. They didn't play that badly. They get a big win at home against Philadelphia, 2-1. In March, April, bad loss against Chicago. They go to D.C. They beat D.C. 2-0 at RFK in April. Then they come home, losing to Sporting Kansas City. They blitzed the Revolution 4-1, even though we all know what happened with the Boston bombing during the marathon. They go to Toronto. They go to Toronto with a 2-1 victory. And then this whole thing starts, the unbeaten streak. They go to Columbus, late goal by Tim Cahill to make it 1-0. Thierry Henry with two goals, defeating Montreal 2-1. You go to New England, a 1-1 draw. And then you come home, late winner by Tim Cahill again, defeating the Galaxy 1-0. You have a 2-2 draw at home against the Crew. You get a 2-0 victory against Reading United in the third round of the U.S. Open Cup. So right there, you have at least 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, an eight-game unbeaten streak. And then you have the loss against Vancouver on June 1st before you take your three-week league break. Fine. You lose in New England at Harvard University in the Open Cup. You lose in reaction, or shall I say, getting back into league play in Philadelphia. And you come back home for a 2-0 victory against Houston end of June. Go to Colorado on the 4th of July, losing 2-0 there. Come home destroying Montreal 4-0, the 2-2 draw against Lyon in the friendly. And then that strange 0-0 draw in Toronto. But still, though, it's a 3-4-game, unbeaten streak, because you come back and you beat Real Salt Lake 4-3. at Red Bull Arena after taking a 2-1 lead at the half. Then you have a 1-1 score line at the half in Sporting Kansas City, and you put in two unanswered. They pull back one late, 3-2 Red Bulls, four games unbeaten. And then a three games, winless streak, a 2-0 loss at Columbus, a 0-0 draw at home against Philadelphia, the 3-2 loss at Chivas USA. And then you come back home to beat up D.C. 2-1. You go to Houston, you destroy them 4-1, and now it's all set up. It's all set up, six games remaining. The stretch run is here. The New York Red Bulls have to go in there, and they have to find a way to keep on going and defeating these teams that are ripe for the pickings. Toronto's coming over now. Their last scheduled match against the Canadian side in MLS. You head home. Again, you're home again. You're playing FC Dallas. You finish off the month of September at Seattle on ESPN, 9 o'clock Eastern. October comes around. You're hosting New England for the final time in the regular season. Then after the international break, you go to Houston on October the 20th. And then you come home to finish the regular season against Chicago at Red Bull Arena. This is what I'm talking about. This is the situations that are in front of the Red Bulls. And right now, things are still going big. Things are still in play. And if we go to the standings in the Eastern Conference, Montreal, they still have two games in hand, and they will be playing those games late in the season. We'll see what happens. But on points, there's a break. Montreal in first, Red Bulls in second, Sporting Kansas City in third. Philadelphia's in fourth, and right now the Revolution has put themselves in that wild card spot, which would mean they would go to Philadelphia. And if things end up the way it will, the Red Bulls will be heading to Kansas City over at Livestrong Sporting Park, and we'll see what they're going to do. No more Kai Kamara. Kamara has been sold over to a premiership club. I believe it's either Sunderland or Southampton's, one of the two. I keep forgetting where he is right now. But Kai Kamara no longer in Major League Soccer. Montreal would have to wait for the winner of Philadelphia New England if the standings end the way it does now. Houston's in sixth, Chicago's in seventh, Columbus in eighth, Toronto in ninth, D.C. not only dead last in the East, dead last in the league, and yes, they are going to be playing for that Open Cup title on Tuesday, October 1st on Gold TV. But this is what we're talking about here. This is a situation for the Red Bulls that they need to go out there and they need to take care of their own business. You don't have to play Kansas City anymore. You don't have to play Montreal anymore. Got to wait to see what's going to happen when the playoffs come around. That is the only thing you got to be concerned for, is when the playoffs come around. But to remain in that pact in the top three of the East, you got to play hard. You got to play strong. You cannot assume it's in the bag when it's not. That's the situation I'm talking about, and that's the situation that the Red Bulls need to know. Pecky knows this. That's for sure. The problem is, do the players know this? That is what we all have to wonder about when it comes to the Red Bulls. It's just been an absolute strong victory down in Houston. And the point is, you got to keep it going. Don't assume anything. You have a return trip to Houston, and you have a long-distance trip to Seattle. And I understand Henri does not like playing on the field turf. You know what, Thierry? Just this once, please. Play on the field turf. I know you did it in Portland. Go to Seattle and play on it and go out there and try to bring 3 points if you can. That's what Thierry Henry needs to do. Bring in 3 points when they go on the road in Seattle. That is what is going on. And as we're finishing up here very soon here on the 40 Saints Fire Net Soccer Show, the special edition of the 40 Saints Fire Net Soccer Show, once again, the New York Red Bulls defeating the Houston Dynamo by a final of 4-1. Eric Alexander with a great rainbow chip over Tally Hall. Thierry Henry, who fought through two defenders, and he just slotted it past Hall. Johnny Steele deking Hall and then sliding it into an open net. Then Lloyd Sand with a long-distance bomb just outside the area, and that made it 4-1. But let's talk a little bit now what's coming up tomorrow. Just want to remind everybody, tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, USA at Mexico World Cup qualifying pregame show. I'll have on Eric Gomez from Goal.com, who covers the Mexican national team as well as the Mexican Primera League. Carter Krishnire will be joining me for pregame as well on the USA end. And then Mr. Gomez will be rejoining me for postgame. Robert Hay Jr. will be joining me for postgame. He might be running a little late, but he will be joining me for postgame along with Eric Gomez to get what's going on here with the USA and Mexico. Everyone already knows what happened. Head coach De La Torre from Mexico has already been sacked on Saturday, the day after Mexico loses to Honduras 2-1. You've heard me on this show say, I have a funny feeling Honduras could steal all 3 points. And they did it. Down by a goal in the early in the first half, two quick goals just at the start, around the middle of the second half, actually. And as we take a look at the standings in the hexagonal in CONCACAF, and we all know what happened with the U.S. They lost at Costa Rica, and that's fine. But now you need to look at the bigger picture. You're coming home. Costa Rica, first place, 14 points. USA, second place, 13 points. Honduras, now in the permanent spot in third with 10 with their victory over Mexico. Mexico, right now, in fourth place in the playoff bracket to take on New Zealand. 3 matches remaining. After tomorrow, 2. Both games in October. Panama, if they do defeat Honduras and Mexico loses to the U.S., Panama leapfrogs Mexico, and Mexico will be on the outside looking in. A situation they've never been in ever since that I'm aware of since refollowing the game back in 1994 up till now. Mexico has a new head coach. It's the assistant, Tena, who was the head coach for the Olympics, for the Olympic team that won gold in London this past summer. Or shall we say last summer? But the big question is this. Is there enough damage that Mexico will not be able to qualify either through the top 3 or the playoff against New Zealand if they remain in fourth? Those questions will be answered tomorrow. Pre-game, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific. Post-game, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific. Watch the match on ESPN. Follow World Cup qualifying all over the place on ESPN. I'll be giving out tweets on Twitter. And at the same time, I'll be tweeting the match from home in my office, describing what's going on between the USA and Mexico. This is going to be not just a big match for the USA and to get their automatic spot confirmed going to Brazil next summer. But could we see for the first time the mighty El Tri fall, and could the Azteca be burning down? That is something we're going to have to wait and see. That is something we're going to have to look at once September the 10th comes and goes. Because I'm telling you right now, everyone, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be fun. And we could already see national teams automatically qualify after this Tuesday comes and goes. If you're curious about a World Cup qualifying update, if you want to know, simple. All Argentina and Colombia need are a point to qualify for Brazil. Argentina might need a result towards them, meaning their opponents below them, to see what will happen, like Ecuador, like Chile. But right now, all Argentina and Colombia needs is a point, and they'll qualify for the World Cup. UEFA, Belgium right now, I think they just need one more win, and they're going to go ahead. That's all they really need. And Belgium in UEFA is going to face Croatia here. We'll see what happens. Italy and Bulgaria. Italy has 17 points. Bulgaria has 10 points. It's all about what happens in this game. We'll see what happens. Germany, they're going to win the group in C. Netherlands, they'll definitely win the group in D. Switzerland, Norway. Switzerland has 15. Norway has 11 points in Group B. We'll see what happens. There are three games to go. Portugal, I think they might be on their way. We'll see what happens. It's going to be a very, very tight race there between Russia, Israel, and Portugal in Group F, especially for the playoff positioning. Group G, Bosnia-Herzegovina is now tied with Greece on points, but Herzegovina has 19 on the plus side of the differential. Montenegro, England, first and second, respectively, in H. And in I, we all know Spain in 14, France with 11. We'll see what happens there. But it's going to be interesting. As we've already talked about, Africa already has their 10 sides waiting to see who's going to get drawn with whom. And those 10 sides are Ethiopia, Cape Verde Island, Ivory Coast, Ghana, Burkina Faso, Nigeria, Egypt, Algeria, and then Cameroon, the last one finishing up, and then Senegal. So those are the 10 sides that are waiting for their fate to see who will face whom there. And then, of course, with Asia, it's a 1-1 draw for the fifth-place playoff between Jordan and Uzbekistan. Uzbekistan getting that road goal. We'll see what happens when they go there to Uzbekistan tomorrow morning, or at least sometime around this upcoming morning. And all New Zealand is waiting for is the playoff for the fourth position winner, whether it be Mexico, Panama, but it's definitely not going to be Jamaica. That's how I feel about it, and that's the truth of the matter. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been, of course, a preview show, of course, for World Cup qualifying, as well as the New York Red Bulls, as they have taken on the Houston Dynamo. They defeated the Dynamo by a final score of 4-1. We still have some time here, and I guess I can open up the phone lines if anyone wants to call in. 646-929-1823. If anyone's listening right now, you want to call in, you have a Red Bulls question or a USA question, please let me know. We all know about the situation. And let's talk about that quick situation. Now, you're probably going to talk more about it on Tuesday, but Matt Beisler gets booked for nothing. Gets booked for nothing. And it's one of those moments where you have an officiating crew from Mexico taking, you know, managing USA and Costa Rica. And then you get, you know, you get taken to the cleaners like that. And Beisler is not allowed to play. And CONCACAF sees this. And this is where I think CONCACAF has to come in. CONCACAF has to come in, to be honest, and say, we're going to rescind that yellow card. It cannot be all the time, hey, you know, this is the referee's decision. We have to abide by the referee's decision. And even though you saw what happened on video, because we know the referees, they don't see that sometimes because it's live action. But CONCACAF has the right to rescind a yellow card due to these types of shenanigans. There has to be a review. If not CONCACAF, Go to FIFA. Go to them and say to them, listen, we've been, you know, this is a wrong here. This should be righted. Please remove the yellow card. It should not be as clear cut as that. You know what I mean? It cannot be, we're sorry for, we at CONCACAF are sorry that Matt Beasler has been booked for this so-called, for the so-called foul. We feel bad that the dive happened and the referee gave the yellow card, but there's nothing we can do about it. All we can do is give you an apology. And that's not good enough. CONCACAF, you have an executive committee. You must have a disciplinary committee as well. If you see something like this, you have to act. And I think it's only fair enough that you contacted Jurgen Klinsmann and to tell him, we will rescind the yellow on Beasler for that display of disgusting coming from Costa Rican side. And he knew he was doing. He knew Beasler didn't see him. He knew he went to do that. And you knew there's no way that's a yellow card. And Marco Rodriguez, and I understand, Marco Rodriguez is a very, very well-decorated official. And, you know, 99% of the time, he made the right calls. He gave the cards out correctly. He did a great job. But that one instant is where you have to say, very simply, Marco Rodriguez, you failed. Marco Rodriguez, you failed to concentrate, and you failed us by accepting that nonsense, accepting that nothing. And you know what? Let me just be honest with you right now. Let's just say that, you know, if Mexico has an important qualifier against the U.S. coming the next day, you don't want an American officiating side to handle this, do you? The game before, the big game against the USA? I don't think so. Because you'd be screaming for bloody murder too. CONCACAF, once again, needs to have the understanding that you cannot do this. Either get outside officials or get another confederation that is not in qualifying in the hexagonal and get them to officiate the game, whether it be Trinidadian, Belize, Turks and Caicos, Canada. Bring the Canadian refs. That's all that matters. And that's a situation that needs to be cleaned up within CONCACAF. And that's the situation. Once again, everybody, tomorrow, the schedule for World Cup qualifying, USA hosting Mexico at Columbus Crew Stadium, Panama hosting Honduras, and then Jamaica hosting Costa Rica. Big amount of World Cup qualifying matches going on. Africa, we'll find out from them, of course, with the African Federation of African Football, who's going to face whom in that order. But once again, it's going to be a big amount of games, mostly from Europe, South America, and CONCACAF. And don't forget the second leg of the fifth-place playoff between Uzbekistan and Jordan. Uzbekistan with the away goal. That's tied at one right now after the first leg. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much now officially for listening to this special edition of the Feuerstein's Fire Internet Soccer Show. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Don't forget tomorrow, please listen in live, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 4:30 p.m. Pacific, pregame USA versus Mexico, and then watch the match on ESPN at 8 o'clock Eastern. At 10 o'clock, rejoin me here with my guests, 10 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Pacific, for postgame between the USA and Mexico. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for this special edition. Once again, this past Sunday, Red Bulls defeat the Houston Dynamo by a final of 4-1. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow night.